Good morning, Reverend Steve Morris here. Thank you very much for joining me for this Sunday service on the 17th of May. Lovely to have you here. Today there are two readings. I'll be concentrating on the reading from the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts reading is Acts 17, 22 to 31. There's also John 14, 15 to 21. And I encourage you to read that as well, because there are some really wonderful material in there as well. And so we begin. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I invite you now to say sorry for anything you'd like to say sorry for. Please do bring your troubles and cares to the Lord, as he promises to forgive and to forget. Jesus, we thank you for your forgiveness. We accept it. Help us to lead our lives anew. Amen. So we say together the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Lovely to say those words, isn't it? And to affirm our faith. And our reading today is from the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life, breath, and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, even though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." It must have been extraordinary. Paul was the first Christian to ever enter this extraordinary metropolis. He must have stood just on the city entrance, maybe on a hill, looking down at Athens, this extraordinary world, this global city. And maybe he wondered, how on earth am I going to bring this message to all these people who think completely differently to me? It must have been extraordinarily daunting. And in many ways, we face the same challenge. How do we bring the good news to people with very different worldviews? I often think my parish, as those who come here know, is very near Harrow. And if you used to go into Harrow on when the shops were open, all the way down the high street were different stalls from different faiths and non-faiths making a pitch for truth. There are multiple worldviews out there, and we're just one of them. And we need to make a really winning appeal for truth that isn't just for our benefit, but is to help others as well. Paul is an object lesson in how to connect with people, because he begins where they exactly are. He doesn't begin with an ideal or with a manifesto. He begins with where people are starting from. And he says, I see you are really religious already. What a good start, he said. You worship the unknown God. I can help you with that. I can help you to know the known God, the God who knows you, the God whose child you are, and the God who has so many things that can be offered to you and to your life and to the life of your communities and your families. It's completely the opposite of the kind of megaphone faith that one sometimes comes into contact with. I'm a great lover of the Edinburgh Fringe. Sadly, it won't be on this year, but every year I go, there's a fellow who stands in the middle of the Royal Mile on a, I think he stands on a box or maybe on some other kind of way of getting himself higher ladders or something, and he shouts and shouts and shouts, repent, repent, repent. I always feel, my goodness, that man is doing more harm than good. It's not that I lack faith. I'm full of it. But I'm also aware that, you know, we need to approach people in the way where they want what we've got. Otherwise, it's just a set of ideas and truth propositions that are put beside other truth propositions that people hear. Paul says, the God who made the universe isn't to be found in temples, isn't to be found of the work of people. He's beyond all of that. And I find that extremely heartening. I suppose I find it very heartening now when we can't, for good reason, go into our churches. God's everywhere. He's not just in the church. Very different, of course, to the Greek gods that people would have known about, who were very wanting of things, wanting sacrifices of people, absolutely. Our God is not there wanting things from us. He wants to be with us, and that's quite a different thing. We hear that God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. He knows the God who's always there, ready for us to reach out to. I find that actually very encouraging, and I think it's a really great object lesson in how to be with other people. Knowing that God's close, and that God's heart is for people. I was reading this morning a little bit from this wonderful book by David Adam, The Holy Island of Lindisfarne. And he talks about when the faith really, really first burst through into this country. To begin with, a missionary came from Iona called Corman. And he gave up on Lindisfarne, went home, went back to the monastery and said, you know, it's impossible. These English people, these British people are just beyond the pale. They are so pagan and they are so disruptive that there's no point working with them. What happened then was, of course, that Aidan decided that he would try. And he was a very different kind of person to Corman. Corman was really bright, he was really clever, but he was austere. Austere. But Aidan was described as a man of gentleness, holiness and moderation. He didn't present the Christian faith as something solemn. He presented it as something appealing and life-giving and life-enhancing. And I think it's absolutely vital that we do that these days. He met people on their own level, just as Paul did. He was a bishop. What he did was he ditched the bishop's horse. He didn't want to be above people, he wanted to be on their level. And that's what I take most from this message today. I hope it strikes a chord with you. God is close. We are his emissaries. We are his agents, if you like. And we need to work with great gentleness as we push forward the kingdom of God. Let us now profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray today for all those people on the front line who are making such a difference to the life of this country. And we thank you for their sacrifice and their gentleness and their humility and their desire to serve others, whatever the cost. We thank you for teachers who are wondering about what the next steps will be. We thank you for them, and we praise you for the work they do with our young people. We pray for our government and our Queen. We're thankful so much that we have a Queen who is really close to the people and knows where we're coming from. And Father, we pray for our church. Encourage you now just to lift up to God the name of one person that you are thinking about, maybe you're worried about. Let's do that now. So, we now exchange the words of the peace. You may be on your own, so maybe just bring to mind someone you'd like to exchange the peace with. Or if you're with someone else, why not exchange the peace with them? When Jesus came, he was the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen. And so, friends, we move on to the Eucharist. We encourage you just to follow the words and say the words that are in bold. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death, and so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and we bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We are called children of God, and by baptism that is indeed what we have become. And so we have the courage to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So, friends, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Let's now take communion. Say together the prayer after communion. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. My dear friends, it's been a great privilege to share this service with you. If you need anything, please do ring me. You'll find all my details on the website. In the meantime, please keep praying for each other and knowing that God is good, that God is here, and that God is close. Finally, a blessing. The God of peace, who brought Jesus, the great shepherd, back from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work and pleasing in his sight. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, go in peace. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.